Wilfred Owen put it in the send-off. Shall they return to beatings of great bells in wild trainloads? A few, too few for drums and yells. There's another reason too. The First World War was the culmination of personal war. Men saw the other human being they had killed visibly dead. Men fought with bayonets, with knives, or even their bare hands. The guns themselves were on the battlefields, thick with smoke, the gunners sweaty and mudbound. War had not yet become a pitting of scientist against scientist or technologist against technologist. Death was not, on either side, elimination through pressing a button, but something seen and experienced personally, bloody, pathetic, and foul. My own picture of the war was gleaned from my mother. Her life, like that of so many of her contemporaries who are actually in the fighting or dealing with its consequences, was shaped by it and shadowed by it. It was hard for her to laugh unconstrainedly. At the back of her mind, the row upon row of wooden crosses were planted too deeply. Through her, I learned how much courage it took to live on in service to the world when all those one loved best were gone, her fiancé first, her best friend, her beloved only brother. The only salvation was work, particularly the work of patching and repairing those who were still alive. After the war, the work went on, writing, campaigning, organizing against war. My mother became a lifelong pacifist. I still remember her in her 70s, determinedly sitting in a CND demonstration and being gently removed by the police. Testament of Youth is, I think, the undisputed classic book about the First World War written by a woman, and indeed, a woman whose childhood had been a very sheltered one. It is an autobiography and also an elegy for a generation. For many men and women, it described movingly how they themselves felt. Time and again, in small Welsh towns and in big northern cities, someone has come up to me after a meeting to ask if my mother was indeed the author of Testament of Youth, and to say how much it meant to them. It is a precious sort of immortality. I hope now that a new generation, more distant from the First World War, will discover the anguish and pain in the lives of those young people 60 years ago, and in discovering, will understand. August 1977, Shirley Williams. Foreword. For nearly a decade, I have wanted, with a growing sense of urgency, to write something which would show what the whole war and post-war period, roughly from the years leading up to 1914 until about 1925, has meant to the men and women of my generation, the generation of those boys and girls who grew up just before the war broke out. I wanted to give, too, if I could, an impression of the changes which that period brought about in the minds and lives of very different groups of individuals belonging to the large section of middle-class society from which my own family comes. Only, I felt, by some such attempt to write history in terms of personal life, could I rescue something that might be of value, some element of truth and hope and usefulness, from the smashing up of my own youth by the war. It's true that to do it meant looking back into a past, of which many of us, preferring to contemplate tomorrow rather than yesterday, believe ourselves to be tired. But it is only in the light of that past that we, the depleted generation now coming into the control of public affairs, the generation which has to make the present and endeavour to mould the future, can understand ourselves or hope to be understood by our successors. I knew that until I had tried to contribute this understanding, I could never write anything in the least worthwhile. The way to set about it at first appeared obvious. It meant drawing a picture of middle-class England, its interests, its morals, its social ideals, its politics, as it was from the time of my earliest conscious memory, and then telling some kind of personal story against this changing background. My original idea was that of a long